Thank you for downloading the Broadmead Community Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy it.
So we are continuing our series called Pray Something. And we're going to be covering this in May and June. And last week, Jody gave us a brilliant introduction into the whole idea of why we pray, this incredible invitation that we have from God to communicate with him, to speak to him and to hear from him. May we never lose the awesome sense of what an invitation that is. And so Jody told us three things. Keep it
simple.
Well done. Keep it
brilliant.
Well done. And keep it brilliant. If you remember that, go to the top of the class. And so we're going to be following through the Lord's Prayer. And those of you who are familiar with the Lord's Prayer will be going, well, of course, it's adoration next. That's the next thing. Our Father in heaven. And then we talk about, we adore the Father, the King. But we've changed things around slightly. Now, it's important to say that adoration is really key. But we're going to do that at the end of the month for other reasons. And so we're going to look and we're going to jump ahead to petition today. And we're going to talk about asking God. Did you know that Google searches for the topic of prayer shot up in March 2020 by 50% compared with February 2020. Between those 2 months, between that month of February and the month of March in 2020, searches on Google for prayer went up 50%. Why? Because we were in a global pandemic. And the reality is that in a crisis, people pray. But we want prayer to be more than just a crisis moment. We want it to be regular communication. But let's be honest, we all struggle with prayer at times. Maybe all the time. How to pray, what to say, how to ask, the right words that we need to use, and why prayers aren't answered. And when we asked people, and when a survey was carried out, why people struggle with prayer, there was various reasons given. For some, it was a lack of faith or trust or belief. For others, it was tiredness. For others, they were too busy. For others, it was the whole issue of unanswered prayers. Why bother? My prayers don't get answered. For others, it was the fear of others. I could never pray out loud because I might not get the right words and I'm fearful of others. For other people, I've got too much stuff. I don't need anything. Why would I bother praying? For some, it was a lack of experience and training. And for others, it was the fact that they felt so full of sin or too guilty because they haven't prayed recently and therefore they feel too bad to go back to Father God. And so over these next 2 months, we're going to address this and we're going to help you. We're going to train you to develop your prayer life. Whether you feel like you've got it sorted or whether you feel like you're over here just beginning, we believe that you can develop your prayer life to such a point that it becomes as natural as breathing. And as vital. So, let's start with Bart. Not that Bart. Let's start with blind Bartimaeus in Mark 10. He's sitting by the roadside begging. And Jesus comes on by. And he must have heard that Jesus was coming on by. And he starts shouting out to Jesus, calling out to him. And Jesus stops. And he sees blind Bartimaeus. And even though there is a clue in the title, Jesus still says, "What do you want me to do for you?" I wonder if Bartimaeus went, "Duh." I mean, isn't it obvious? I mean, this tripping over stuff, I don't put it on. You know, I'm not making it up. But why does Jesus ask this? What's going on? You see, it appears that although God knows our needs, he knows your needs. Jesus knew what Bartimaeus needed, but he wants us to ask. And Bartimaeus was able to see. And this incredible miracle occurs. And that can still happen today. As Hot Chocolate sang, I believe in miracles. Just the next line, since you came along, you sexy thing, that I struggle with slightly. But God changes things when we pray. Things would be different if we didn't pray. And Christians across the world would be able to tell you about how God has answered their prayers. In John 14, verse 14, we read this. You may ask for anything in my name and I will do it. You may ask for anything in my name and I will do it. But what does it mean, I hear you ask? Maybe not, but I'm going to go with it anyway. What does it mean, in my name? What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? It means to pray in line with God's purpose and his character. So God won't do stuff that contradicts who he is. But when we use our will to say yes to God's will, miracles occur. Now, some of you will know that we've recently bought a bit of a house project. Karen spent far too long watching too many Homes Under the Hammer. And it's been a long dream of hers to take a bit of a wreck of a house and turn it into something. And we're still waiting for Dion Dublin to come and, you know, film us. He presents Home Under the Hammer. And we bought this, and when we bought it, we knew this before, but it's never had gas in the property. It's got old storage heaters, which we've got rid of now, but it has got gas pipes, and so we had to have the Cadent, who replaced the gas board, and they came along, and they had to do what was called a dead or alive check. It was very serious. You know, is our gas dead or alive? Well, thankfully, it's alive, which is good. So then we had to then ring to get a meter put on our gas pipes. Simple, you would have thought. The lady who came to do the dead or alive said, oh, just ring up your energy supplier and they'll sort it all out. So that's what I did the next day. And the energy supplier, first of all, they were switching over systems, so they couldn't deal with any new customers, so I had to come back a month later. Then when I went back a month later, they said, oh, because of the energy crisis, we're not taking on any new customers, so you have to go to another supplier. So then I went to British Gas because I knew that they were doing it. And they said, well, yes, of course we can, but we haven't got a reference number for your dead or alive check yet. You'll have to go back to Cadent and get a reference number because they haven't put it through the system. So I then went to Cadent and I said, I'm sorry, you haven't put it through the system. Oh, yeah, no, we haven't. And I said, well, it would really help me if you could put it through the system, because then we can get British Gas to come and put a meter in so we can get everything changed in that. And he said, yeah, of course. I said, well, what's the turnaround on that? Well, we don't promise any turnaround at all. No, we don't, because if we did, you might be disappointed if we didn't achieve it. And I said, yeah, but also I could be frustrated that in a year's time you haven't done anything about it. And so constant phone calls to Caden asking them to do something. Now, I'm not the... Up here, I come across as completely patient. I know. But sometimes I can get really frustrated on the phone. And because, you know, when you're phoning people and you're just thinking, surely you can just do this. And so they said, okay, well, then they said, oh, by the way, we haven't got permission to speak to you because it's in your wife's name. And then Karen had to ring and, oh, my God. It went on and on and on and on. And we're waiting for this gas meter. And then eventually... someone said to me, why don't you try a different approach? So I said, just checking, has this been done? No, we haven't done it. It's sitting on someone's desk at the moment. I said, oh, is he there with you? No, he's not here. He should be in today, but he's not here. I think you shouldn't be telling me that. And she said, okay. I said, well, okay, so I would like him now to resolve it and phone me back in half an hour to tell me that it's resolved. Or I'd like to speak to your team leader. Within half an hour, the team leader came onto the phone and he said to me, we're really sorry, this should have been done weeks and weeks ago. Let me see if I can get it done within the next 2 hours. Within half an hour, it had been done. And hopefully, on the 20th of this month, we all get a gas meter. But isn't it so frustrating sometimes like that? You may have had similar situations. But that was solved by going to the boss. It was solved by going to the person at the top, or certainly as top as I could get. And maybe I would have started tweeting the CEO of Caden. And that's the most amazing thing about prayer. We don't have to go through anyone else. We get to go to the boss. We get to go to the top. We get to go to the person that has the authority and the power to change things. So turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to pick up at verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Knock, ask, seek. Now I'm told in the New Testament Greek, it is the continual present tense. So it's ask and keep asking. It's knock and keep knocking. It's seek and keep seeking. We're to continue to do it. And the other thing to note here is Father God loves to give his children good gifts. Now, when Joel was much younger, and I haven't warned Joel about this one, he was massively into Cars, the movie. Yeah, amazing. Loved it. And Joel had a slightly, it was obsessive nature as a child. But when he learned about Thomas the Tank Engine, he had to learn the names of all the engines. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. Yeah. So Joel wanted as many Lightning McQueen cars as he could get, and they were only about £3, and you could buy them in Woolworths. Now this dates the story, doesn't it? But as much as Joel wanted this, Karen and I became even more obsessed with finding all the different variety of cars from the movie. So if we were on holiday, we would have to go to every town there was a Woolworths there. And honestly, I think Joel got bored of it in the end, but we would be scrabbling around. Look, I found Mater after he's had his... Anyway, I brought them with me. We've still got them all. We did it because Joel loved them. These weren't in his room anymore. I had to find them. But the amazing thing was we loved giving these to him because he got so much joy from them. In fact, Karen and I got more joy from them, from finding them and giving them to him, than probably Joel did with playing with them. But that's just like our Heavenly Father. He loves to give us good things. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what's good for us. And so we are invited to ask for the stuff that you want. Ask for the stuff you need. Maybe not the stuff you want. You see, in the Lord's Prayer it says, give us our daily bread. And the prayer Jesus taught was like the Jewish prayer of the time called the Kaddish. But the difference between the Jewish prayer and the prayer that Jesus taught was that Jesus brought this personal element into it. He says, give us our daily bread and forgive us as we forgive others. And that's not there in the Jewish prayer. You see, Jesus makes this prayer personal, and it's an open invitation, and he wants to get involved in our lives, and he wants to help. And so it's right to ask God for what we need, and even occasionally for a rare Lightning McQueen car. But remember, it's daily bread, not caviar on toast. Now, One of the things that we know holds us back from praying is that we struggle with unanswered prayers. Why am I not seeing a change in this situation? And we're going to cover more of that later in the series. But just for now, I want you to think about these traffic lights in front of you. I said to our treasurer, I need a set of traffic lights for the talk today. And I was hoping that we might have something similar to the scale outside the church there. But he said to me, this is all we can afford. So sometimes when we pray, it's green. There's a miracle straight away. When we were travelling from Madagascar into Uganda, we had hoped that we would be able to go straight through transition and onto our flight. But that was not going to happen at the airport in Uganda. The problem was that we had to go through the visa control again, which meant that we had to pay $50 per person. And we were a party of five. And we were being told that we wouldn't have to do this because we were going on to the next flight. But they wouldn't let us go that way. We had to go through. And we got there and they said, right, that's going to be $250. We didn't have any money. We certainly didn't have any dollars. And so frantically, under my breath, I'm praying like mad. And this lady, we said, we haven't got it with us. And she said, okay, I don't know what to do. Can you get it? I said, well, no, we can't get it because there's no cash machines around here. And eventually she said, let me see what I can do. And she came back and she said, okay, I can let you through, but you mustn't leave this airport. And we go, don't worry, we've got a flight in an hour. We're not going anywhere. But that was one of those moments where it was an instant answer to prayer. We were green-lighted with an instant answer to prayer. But sometimes, is that working? Yes. Sometimes it's amber. And it's wait and keep praying. Many of you will know that Joel describes himself as the miracle child because we waited for 4 years of infertility and we had to wait and wait and we kept praying and we kept praying and we kept thinking, well, God, this month, answer our prayers. But for whatever reason, and I think I could go into a whole host of reasons, it was amber. It was wait until the wonderful Joel arrived. Sorry, Joel, it's the last time I'm going to mention you today. And then finally, sometimes it can be red. It can be no. When my dad had his brain tumour, and then that led to him going into a coma and eventually dying, we prayed. We prayed that on numerous occasions, all kinds of prayers with all kinds of people. But for whatever reason, God didn't answer our prayers in the way that we had hoped for. And the trouble is when we get a red light, when the answer is no, the tendency is to push God away. But can I encourage you that when it's red, hold on to God's love. It is possible to trust God in whatever situation, even if you don't understand it. Many, many years ago, Lauren was quite poorly one day. She had a real temperature. And Lauren, those of you who know her, is a wonderful person, but is quite strong-willed. And she was absolutely determined that she was not going to take any of the medication that we gave her. It tasted horrible. Why would I have that? But she was so young that she couldn't understand. You know, we were trying to explain to her, well, it tastes horrible. It's going to make you better. It's going to bring your temperature down. All we could do was just hold her. Comfort her, place some cold compress on her. You know when you just hold a child and they've got a temperature, you feel like, my goodness me, they really are burning up. She couldn't understand what would have been good for her. All she could understand was the love of her parents at that time. Sometimes when we don't understand, we want to push God away. Just experience his love at those times and draw closer to him. So, how are we going to do all this? Okay, first thing we want to do is pray with others. Okay, if you're seeking God for something, get others who will pray with you. Matthew 18, verse 19 says, again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. There is incredible power of coming together with other believers in agreement and in prayer. That's why our prayer gatherings are so important. Whether it's on a Tuesday morning on Zoom or whether it's our monthly Raise a Hallelujah. Do you know what? We had a great time, amazing time on Friday night. That cafe had about 30 or 40 people in it. But it's still only a small percentage of the church community. We want to see more people gathering together, praying together. That's why we have times of prayer at the end of the service, because when people pray in agreement, we see in Matthew 18 that there is power in praying in agreement. So pray with others. Pray incrementally. Don't jump to the top step of the ladder, but maybe take the first step on the ladder. If you want to pray for your friend to become a Christian, you might not have the faith to pray, Lord, bring him to you tomorrow. But you might have the faith to pray that first step. Lord, next time I see him, give me an opportunity to share a story with him. Or if you're praying for healing, you might not have the faith to pray for complete and utter healing, but pray for your next doctor's appointment. Take the steps. Pray incrementally. So pray with others. Pray incrementally. Pray God's promises. Each morning I get up to pray, and I write in my prayer journal all the different people that I'm praying for. And recently one of my children asked me, Dad, when you pray in the morning, who do you pray for? And I told them who I was praying for at that moment. And they said, you didn't include us. I do now. If you want to pray prayers for people, pray prayers, not vague prayers. But when I pray for my children, you could be tempted to pray, I pray that they will be the most awesome Christian that leads the whole country to revival. It's a bit vague, isn't it?
Not sure I understand.
No, nor do I. But how about praying? How about praying as I do for direction for one of my children? And for the other one, for their friends, for the friendship issues that they're having at the moment. And for the other one, the workload that they have on their plate at the moment. So don't pray vague prayers, but one way to do that is to pray the promises of God into the lives of the people we're praying for. And they will become the train tracks of your prayers. And finally, pray consistently. You see, and here you've been waiting for it. Prayer is like stacking dominoes. Each time you pray, you place another domino down. And because you didn't give up, one day, breakthrough comes. Not because you found the right words or you found the right prayer or you were in the right position, but because you have prayed consistently and because you didn't give up. One day you'll pray a prayer and the dominoes will go. The prayer will be answered. Hold your breath. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Give it a big cheer, yeah! Worrying about those staying up for the whole service is why I don't sleep at night. And Karen said it wouldn't work. Let me finish with this story. Queen Bertha of Kent was a Christian. In the 6th century, she married King Ethelbert, a non-Christian. Her husband built a chapel because for the agreement to be, for them to be married, he had to allow her to follow her Christian faith. And so her husband, the king, built her a chapel. And she went into that chapel every day for 17 years. And in 1597, a Roman mission to England led her husband, the king, to Jesus. And he was the first Christian king of England. And thousands found faith in the following years because of the king's faith. And he built Canterbury Cathedral on the site where she had been praying in the chapel. And that cathedral is still at the heart of the Church of England today, on that very site where those prayers were prayed. And it continues to impact our nation and many others today. See, she was praying for the soul of her husband, but also she was praying for her nation and nations. She kept praying 17 years, stacking dominoes all the time. Days, weeks, months, years, praying for something far bigger than she even realised. And so we have this invitation today and every day to ask for our daily bread. Pray with others. Pray incrementally. Pray consistently. And pray, help me out here, God's promises. We're going to pray. I invite you to close your eyes for a moment.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not check us out on all social media platforms or visit broadmead.org.uk.